I believe that liberty is the only genuinely valuable thing that men have invented, at least in the field of government, in 1,000 years. I believe that it is better to be free than to be not free, even when the former is dangerous and the latter is safe. I believe that the finest qualities of man can flourish only in free air, that progress made under the shadow of the policeman's club is false progress and of no permanent value. I believe that any man who takes the liberty of another into his keeping is bound to become a tyrant, and that any man who yields up his liberty, in however slight the measure, is bound to become a slave. And that quote was from Henry Louis Mencken. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Now, if you want to control the world, you must first control the people within the world. And this is achieved by controlling the minds and therefore the perception of the people within the world, controlling their perception of what reality is, how reality functions, and how their social systems function. And controlling these perceptions within people is not actually as difficult as you may at first believe. It simply depends on where you are able to position yourself within the social hierarchy. And bear in mind the old adage that if you assume a position of power, then people very soon give you that power. So that's the first step, folks. The first step is being bold enough to claim that you have this power and simply step into the leadership role. So essentially you assume a position of power and then you superimpose your reality over the top of actual reality. This is the basis of any good cult, folks, and this is basically what we're seeing in the world today. We're basically seeing a global cult because we have a global perception of what reality is and how reality functions. And it is a perception that has been foisted upon the people without their general knowledge of it being done. And you see, this is where the true power lies. It lies in the power of the elite to have been able to do this. This was actually summed up very eloquently by Dr. Wade Noble, who said that power is the ability to define reality and to have other people respond to your definition as if it was their own. And when you take a look around you, folks, you see that this is exactly what has been done to the world. It's what's been achieved on a global scale to the entire special mind of man. Well, almost the entire mind of man anyway, because most of the people on the planet today all perceive reality to function in the way that it's been presented to them by the mainstream education system, or believe their function in society is what they've been told that it is, all believe that society functions in the way they've been told it functions, and all believe that government functions in the way that we are told it functions. And there are several reasons why this has been done. One is to control vast amounts of the population, but it's important to understand that this control can only be maintained by removing from people any real understanding or any inkling of the power that each person actually holds. It's very similar to when you get a bull or a big powerful dog and you put it in an enclosure which simply consists of four pegs and a piece of wire, but you put an electric current through the wire so that every time the creature touches the wire it gets an electric shock, and it will soon learn not to touch this wire, and then eventually you don't have to electrify the wire. You can literally get something like a Rottweiler or a bull, and you can put them in the middle of a yard and you can put in four pegs and a piece of string running between the four pegs, and you can be guaranteed the animal will go nowhere near the piece of string. Of course, the animal could stomp straight through the piece of string, stomp on the person who put it there, and probably tear half the house down. But the animal's mind is controlled, and it is not aware of the power it holds, and so you are able to contain something incredibly powerful with something as flimsy as a piece of string. And this is essentially what's been done with humanity. We grow up enslaved and controlled not by a piece of string, but by a piece of paper. We soon learn that we need to have this paper in order to have social standing. And if we have social standing, we get the respect that we always wanted, and we don't get in trouble with the authorities as much as many other people do. And we're taught that this is the way reality works from a very early age. We're taught that life is all about the one with the most wins. And we're taught that it's very much about respecting authority. And they instill this into the minds of the individuals constantly throughout the scholastic system. It starts at school and they begin to give us little raps over the knuckles if we do what they perceive to be the wrong thing. And these raps over the knuckles gradually get more serious as we get older, and we end up being incarcerated or tasered or battened by police officers if we step outside of the lines and try to exert any of our power. And so it gets to a stage where society as a whole is very, very contained due to the actions of a very, very small percentage of the population who have assumed positions of power and have superimposed their reality over the minds of the many. And the control that's exerted over the minds of the masses by the few who are manipulating this system, in fact, goes a lot deeper than the control that you see on the surface in the way our societies run. It also comes back to the control of who we are by controlling history. Because if we don't understand history, then we don't know where we came from. And we have no inkling of what we have been able to achieve in the past. We're fed a very, very boxed view of history through our schools. And many people believe it to be true because of the power of the printed word. When you read something in a book, you tend to believe it a lot more than if someone simply tells you. If someone just hands you a piece of paper with some printing on it, yeah, that's okay. But if it's bound in a volume and it looks like a book, then it seems to contain an air of reality about it. And the printed word sinks into people's minds a lot more than tales around the campfire. People are very confident in the accuracy of the printed word. But you've got to remember, folks, that history is written by the winners, and the history that has been placed there for the people to read and to absorb is the history that the powers that be want us to have. But the reality is that if you travel around the planet and look around you, you find that there are monuments and structures and things lying all over the planet that tell a completely different story. And the further reality is that we constructed these things. We were able to do a lot more than we are now. But because these monuments are simply classed as oddities and curios, the real significance of the existence of these structures is basically disregarded, and we just don't think about that sort of thing. But the fact is that the ancient monuments that exist all over this planet tell a completely different version of history than what we're fed, and they contain huge significance for the origins of humankind. They contain huge significance for the capabilities of human consciousness. And the thing is, folks, you can say that these monuments are simply curios, but the fact is that we don't know how they were built. And just those three words, "we don't know," hold such an incredible amount of significance. The fact that we have all the technology that we have, but we don't know how to do this. We don't know how to do these things that are now in ruins lying all over the planet. Of course, it's very likely that the temples in South America, the Mayan ruins, were all made through softening stone because there are tribal people there who have been reported to make molded stone statues that they use by applying plant extracts to stones, certain shaman. And there are the works of Percy Fawcett, which talk about softening stone. I mentioned all of this in my book that I released in 2005 that you can get from the website. But the thing is that we don't have these technologies now, and that is of huge significance. And none of these ruins should be so lightly dismissed. And of course, none of the explanations we're given for these things by mainstream academia actually work in any way. The explanations we're given for the building of the pyramids and even the time frame that we are given for the building of the pyramids makes absolutely no sense. And so you can see how much effort's been gone to cover up history and to hide history from the eyes of the people. So you've got to ask why. Why has such an effort been undertaken to conceal our true history from us? Well, of course, the reason is because if you can conceal from the people the power that they had in the past, then you disempower them for the future. And that's what we've seen with humanity. We have become more and more disempowered. And there are subtle methods that they use to control us within this disempowerment as well, such as television and the movies, which not only controls the information that you feed to people, but can also be used to control the emotional state of the population. You see, in order to control vast amounts of people, you need to provide emotional outlets for people, emotional experiences for people, so that they don't ever have any of this subconscious tension building up inside them, which may cause them to rebel. You do this by the use of things such as sporting teams, large football matches, and by movies and things like that. Movies are very, very useful in controlling the emotional state of people, and they also provide a means of disempowering people as well by making everything larger than life. If you go and watch a movie, there's always the hero on the big screen who will save the world, and you go through the emotional ride with the hero of the movie, and at the end, he vanquishes the bad guys, and you sigh a huge sigh of relief, and you feel all fulfilled, and you feel like something's been achieved, like evil has been killed. But you never went and applied yourself to the world around you in order to do it. You just went through the emotional ride in the movie. And so that fulfills the underlying desire for emancipation from this system that most people feel within them, but don't know how to apply to reality. And it also disempowers people in as much as it's always a hero who goes and saves the day. We've seen a huge spate of superhero movies lately, because this instills into the minds of the people that the evil is too big for humanity to ever overcome, and we need heroes to take care of these things. You know, we need the Avengers to come and save the world, because humanity will never be able to do it on their own. And you also see within movies these depictions of government, of how government are these intricate webs of espionage and intelligence and counterintelligence, when really they're just a bunch of megalomaniacal control freaks who are stealing all the wealth from the people. And you see an incessant amount of cop shows on television and movies about police officers where the police are always, always the good guys. The police are always the ones who are out there being honest, honorable, and upstanding individuals. And if there is corruption displayed within the police department in the movie, then there's a good guy there who's going to save the day and fix all the problems, and in the end, good will prevail. When really the main role of police in modern society is to defend corporate corruption. I mean, that's basically what they do these days. They collect revenue for the government and they impose their will upon anybody who steps outside of the lines. And should the people choose to stand up against corporate corruption and stand up against things such as coal seam gas mining, they are called extremists and the police are used to suppress and remove their freedoms. We actually saw the Deputy Premier of New South Wales here in Australia label coal seam gas opponents as extremists a couple of weeks ago as well. But essentially what I'm saying here is that the role that we see police and government playing on television is in fact diametrically opposed to what their actual role is within the parameters of our current social system. But the police and government are always portrayed as being all-powerful and untouchable on the silver screen, and so therefore people perceive these organisations to be exactly that, when in fact they're not. The government are in fact a group of public trustees who are operating in breach of trust and working to steal all of the resources of the nation while enslaving the population, and the police are simply the enforcers that are helping it happen. But of course, many of the police don't know this as well. Many of the police believe what's fed to them. They believe the propaganda. They believe that they are the protectors of society. And of course, there are always a smattering of brutal police placed in amongst them so that they will assume the positions of leadership and they will lead all of the otherwise nice people down the path of totalitarianism. It's always very, very contrived and very well constructed this way, folks. And so television and the movies are kind of like a multi-platform programming system. It's really quite amazing what people believe reality to be, because it's always the reality that's programmed into them by the television or by the written word of the newspapers, all of who are controlled by very, very few people. But you'll find that many people haven't travelled and haven't seen the world the way it really is. If they have travelled, they've done so as a tourist, and they've been led down the little tourist avenue, and they've gone to buy souvenirs so they can tell their friends that, yes, I've been there. But they haven't really gone and seen the country and joined with the country and joined with the people and met the people and truly got to feel the people and feel the earth the way it truly is. And so most people's perception of reality and their perception of what is going on in the world is that which is presented to them by the powers that be. So again, we see the control of people's perceptions and the control of people's minds and the imposition of a false reality over the collective consciousness of the species. And then, of course, folks, you provide a myriad of rabbit holes for people to go down, because people get to a stage where they realize that things are not the way they thought they were. They know there's something wrong, but they don't quite know what it is. And so you provide a myriad of conspiracy theories for them, and you present shadowy controllers behind the scenes who are controlling things, reptiles, aliens, all sorts of stuff, but always something too big for the people to deal with on their own. It's always some power external to themselves that is controlling their lives. It's never the power that's been removed from themselves, the power that exists within themselves that they've never been told is there, because that's where the solution lies, because that's the power that's been taken from them, because their entire understanding of reality has been manufactured and manipulated up to that point in their lives. And that's where the problem lies. It's that control and manipulation of reality, the removal of self-empowerment, and the need to look for solutions and shadowy figures to blame that are all external to yourself, that always turns out to be something too big for you to be able to handle on your own. And so you withdraw, you go back within yourself, and you start suffering different types of stress, self-inadequacies and social problems. And these are all problems that can easily be controlled by society. We can simply take you and drug you. We can put you in a home. We can make you an outcast. We have all sorts of ways of dealing with these types of things. And that's the way it's very cleverly designed, folks, because by designing it this way, the problem is always presented as being way too big for the individual to ever be able to make a difference. The problem is presented as a monster that we need a superhero to come and fix. And so very often we're told that these superheroes are going to come. They're going to come in the form of the Pleiadians or the Ascended Masters or the Galactic Federation of Light or whoever else we can cook up to come and save you, to prevent you from ever looking within yourself and to prevent you from ever acting to improve the world around you on a personal level by applying yourself to the world around you and by leading by example in all that you do. So you see, folks, it is actually quite easy to control the world by controlling people's perception of the world. You simply have to know how to manage the whole thing. And of course, one of the most important factors is something that has been mentioned so very many times in the past, and that is, of course, the monetary system and the manner in which the human experience has been turned into commerce. And again, this is a false reality, folks, because what we see is that people have had a commercial reality superimposed over actual reality. And the imposition of commerce upon people, turning their lives into commerce, has removed people of the ability to truly give and to truly be supportive of each other. And the imposition of commerce over the human experience also very much serves to hold back the human experience and hold back any true evolution of the conscious mind of man, any true awakening of the human species, because everyone's always caught up in this paper-based, money-based reality, which is not what reality is. And it's very difficult for people to think outside of the commerce box. It's very, very difficult for people to grasp any concept of a reality that did not involve commerce, because this has been the basis so far of their entire human experience. And so it becomes very difficult for them to even conceive that there could be another way to do things. But as I've pointed out before, you had cultures such as the Vedic culture, which was all based on giving, and it functioned very, very well. And you can actually look back through Indian records and you can find ancient texts such as the Vimanika Shastra, which talks about flying machines and talks about different ways of operating these flying machines, and like quite literally pages and pages of complex flight manuals that bear no religious meaning and tell no particular story. They're not exactly interesting reading. They're just books of flight manuals. And these books make mention of mining minerals from the earth. It talks about there being 3,000 mineral-bearing layers in the earth. So they had a pretty advanced knowledge of things, folks. And they talked about mining operations, harvesting some of these minerals from the earth, different minerals that they would need in the construction of flying machines. And folks, you can go and find these books for yourself and read these things for yourself. The Vimanika Shastra, there are all sorts of ancient Indian texts which say some very, very remarkable things. So these people had the technology. They had incredibly powerful giving cultures. They were able to build things that we can't do today. And they knew as much about mining and as much about resources as we do today, only they based their whole society on a giving culture, and they also seemed to display a reasonable amount of responsibility in their mining procedures because they didn't really damage the earth the way we are doing today, because we have a society that is based in commerce, so we have to keep extracting stuff. We don't make anything to last because we've got to keep supporting this economic system. So it's the economic system itself that is creating all of the pollution and all of the problems that we're seeing with our environment. It isn't necessarily the people. Of course, we're the ones that are doing the damage, but we're doing the damage in order to support an economic system, a system of commerce that has been superimposed over the human experience. And this system of commerce itself requires the destruction of the planet. So you've got to ask the question, where did it come from? Who put this in place? Whose idea was it to run things like this? You've got to ask yourself how humankind benefits from this system. It's the system of commerce that is the problem, you see. So the people need to step back and realize that it doesn't serve humanity's best interests. And all you've got to do is, as I said, look at cultures such as the Vedic cultures. Look at the monuments that the ancient people had. Look at the pyramids, look at the Mayan ruins, look at what exists in all of these ancient texts and the things they talk about. They had some pretty remarkable cultures and they had some pretty remarkable technologies, and we are being prevented from any of these technological achievements and any of this forward motion of the human experience and the forward motion of human consciousness by a system of commerce that's been imposed upon us. That's really the basis of the whole problem, folks, is that life on this planet, human life, has been replaced by commerce. And even as far as things like free energy go, and the amount of free energy devices that have been presented to the world that we could be using now, the only thing that prevents the implementation of these devices is, again, the system of commerce. And when you look at it this way and you really think about it, folks, then of course the only way that people are going to accept such a commercially based reality is if you have first removed all their power from them. If you have first removed all their knowledge of the past, all their knowledge of history. If you have first reshaped their perception of what reality is via all of the methods that I previously outlined for you. So people really do need to step back and pay attention to what is actually going on here. And again, if people wish to use a system with which to trade with each other, well, that's fine by me, but let's just make it an honest system that isn't based on interest-bearing debt. Let's make it a system that actually serves human needs rather than one that removes human beings of who and what they are, and one that extracts this many resources from the planet. Because we keep hearing about how we're running out of resources and we need energy and we need this and we need that, but you've got to understand that it's only because we are supporting this economic system. We could actually build things to last, and if we built things to last, we would have a lot more leisure time. We would have a lot more time for philosophical pursuits. We would have a lot more time to experience reality, a lot more time for pleasure, and a lot more time to find ways of taking the human experience in fantastic and wonderful directions. But we are kept from all of these pursuits by supporting the system of commerce that has currently been superimposed over the human experience. And speaking of energy needs, folks, it needs to be made very clear to everybody that there is no energy crisis on this planet. There are a lot of ways of extracting free energy. There are a great many people throughout modern history that have presented free energy devices to the world and have sought to make them public. All of these devices have been suppressed, and again, it's been done in order to support the system of commerce. And that's basically what we have here in 2012, folks. We have a species that has had its entire history virtually erased from its collective memory, and therefore it's had all the power of its ancestors and the power of its past removed from the collective consciousness. We've had a system of commerce imposed over the human experience, which serves to destroy the planet that we live on and to enslave those who work within the parameters of the system. And we have a governing body above the people, and these people simply run the respective arms of the global corporation, because that's what modern society is, folks. It's a global corporation. And all that operate within the parameters of this corporation are enslaved to a system of commerce which serves to extract all the resources from the planet and to make humanity the most expendable thing within its parameters. As sad as it is to say it, that is actually what's going on, and that is how the world is run today. And we'll come back to this in a few minutes, folks, but I think it's break time now, so I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for spending this time with me today, and I'll speak to you again after the break. And welcome back, folks. Now, in further examining these systems of control that have been put in place and the way human consciousness has been manipulated, we can see all of the things that I talked about in the first half of the show. These are simply basic and simple truths. Again, folks, if you step back and actually look at how the world is run, this is what you see. It's just obvious, really, when you actually step back and look at it. But another one of the systems of control that's put in place is something that I mentioned, I think it might have been last week or the week before, and that is the exaltation of youth, how the youth is exalted within our society, while at the same time the youth is actually taught to burn themselves out as quickly as possible. It's all about partying. It's all about the exaltation of youth, but you need to destroy yourself while you're a youth. So when you start getting a few wrinkles and you get past the stage where you measure up to the yardsticks that society has provided for you to measure yourselves up to, you are kind of discarded and you walk away feeling dejected. So this disempowers the entire social structure straight away. The methods that are used to exalt the youth and the methods that the youth are told they need to employ in order to be successful and to be liked and to be acceptable, and what they need to do with their spare time. So we end up with a very distracted, very adolescent society, and a society that's perpetually caught up in the wheels of debt. And they will continue to run faster and faster on the treadmill until they are eventually discarded. It's run very much like a production line, and it's also run very much like a system of circuitry, like an electrical circuit. In fact, when you understand how an electrical circuit flows, and you understand the properties of electricity, you can see how society functions, and you can see how the social system and the control of human consciousness functions. In fact, there's a paper that I recommend you get that you can find online called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. It was reputedly found in a photocopy machine that was purchased at a surplus store, and it's apparently a CIA document. There's no way of confirming this, but it does contain some very, very interesting information. And if you read this document, you may get an understanding of how the systems of control have been put in place and how they function. And if you do a search online for that paper, you will find a PDF of it available online. And again, its title is Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. You see, some of the most esoteric knowledge, some of the most occult knowledge, occult meaning hidden, is that which is hidden right before your eyes. And when you begin to understand how this system functions and how energy flows through the system, it can give you a whole new understanding of how to deal with reality. Because ultimately, it's all about energy, and ultimately, it always comes back to the empowerment of the individual. It comes back to people knowing who and what they are. That's why I spend so much time on that. I've done literally hundreds and hundreds of shows where I've spoken about energy, and I've spoken about people finding themselves and stepping into that and standing in their flesh, knowing where they sit in the food chain, knowing what the system is. I've said it so many different ways, I don't even know how to say it anymore. And I've done this because that's the solution. That's the solution to it all. And that's why I've kept coming back to it. But people have to begin to see how the system works by opening their minds to the system. And in order to do this, they have to open their minds to themselves, of course, because that's where all the answers lie. That's why people have to know what they are, because it's by even questioning who and what they are that begins to make them want to even question the system within which they live. Most people just accept the system for what it is because they're so busy running around in the world of commerce that they aren't given any choice. It's all about commerce. It's all about measuring up to the yardsticks that society gives us. So you've got to do this. You've got to live in this type of neighborhood, and you've got to have this type of house and this many children and this many cars, and the children have to do this and they have to do that, and they have to have these lessons and those lessons and go to college and become good little drones so they can measure up to the yardsticks that society provides for them. And it's this endless treadmill of consumption and consumerism and economic-based reality, commerce-based reality. And that's where the problem lies. Mankind has lost its direction, or it's been steered into a direction of commerce, and that is what has caused all of the problems, as I was saying in the first section of the show. So we've got to step back and begin to change our perspective of who and what we are. And that's what it all comes down to, folks. That's why you have to know how this system operates, so that you can know who and what you are, so that you can find yourself. And by finding yourself, the simple act of finding yourself is all you really need to step away from the system. And I'm not saying go and become a hermit. All I'm doing is saying stand in your power. Question authority, but do it in the right way. Do it out of respect. Do it in a way that empowers humanity, because when you do question authority, you need to be leading by example. And you don't want to be setting an example of violence. You want to be setting an example of self-empowerment, an example of confidence, an example of knowing who and what you are, and of serving creation to do the best and create the best reality that you possibly can in all that you do. And even for those people out there who are attempting to deliver information to people, burning CDs, handing out flyers, doing all the stuff that we need to do to get the message out to people, the first and foremost thing that anybody needs to do is to lead by example in all that they do and to provide a better way for people. Because people are much more open to information that they discover for themselves. And if you're an upstanding pillar of your community, if you are improving reality by your presence in it, if you are being a staunch support to your neighbors and a staunch support to everybody and treating everybody as your equal, people eventually want to know what made you like that, what made you the strong, upstanding, real person that you are. And then they want to know the information that you know. They want to know how to have that understanding of reality, because with that understanding comes empowerment, and they want that. People want to be empowered. And so that's why you have to lead by example. It's more important for you to be the change that you wish to see in the world than it is to hand out any information to anybody. I hand out information to people because I can. I'm in a position where I can. I have friends in town who have a shop. They have DVDs there that they give out to people who come to the shop to eat. I've got people and friends in town who always come and collect DVDs off me to hand out to all their friends. There's a strong community here that does this, that we've all helped to build. But ultimately, the most important thing anybody can do is to accept themselves for what they are and to be proud of who and what they are and to lead by example in every action that they take and to be aware of every action that they take, to live every moment as if it were a valuable moment. I mean, sure, we are facing some enormous difficulties to overcome. We have some enormous problems with our whole social and government system. We have enormous amount of problems with the future that's being created for us. And there are a great many people that will succumb to that future. And there are a lot of people who will not make it through what is to come. But I believe that this is simply how consciousness evolves, and I believe that all is as it should be. The people who are supposed to wake up will wake up, and I believe that we will go through and create the future that we wish to have. It's just that unfortunately it may have to get a little worse yet. And we're certainly seeing that this year, folks. There is an exceptional amount of lockdowns happening this year. And even with the introduction of things like carbon tax here in Australia. And folks, when you understand how this is a system of commerce that's been imposed upon the people, and that it's the fact that a dollar value has been applied to virtually everything, even to the atmosphere, then you begin to see what a mistake this commercial system is and how such a thing as a carbon tax will serve no other purpose than to further lock down human consciousness, further enslave society onto the treadmill of debt, and further impose the commercial system upon the consciousness of the people. And once it's seen to be a success here in Australia, then they will extrapolate it out across the rest of the world. And folks, it's all about control. Carbon tax, all of the taxes, all of the things that they claim they are doing to protect the environment, these things are not being done to protect the environment. It's all about control. And all you need to do to verify this fact is take one step back and consider how commerce has been superimposed over the human experience. Because when you understand all the stuff that I talked about in the first half of the show, when you understand how this economic value has been placed over human value, then you begin to see what the problem is. And so, of course, you begin to see what the solution is. Now, the solution is to be aware of the system, but the solution is also to know what gives the system its power, and that is us. That's why it always comes back to this. I mean, I could go along and I could tell you all the news about what's happening in the world, folks, but ultimately it's all corporate consolidation. That's what it all is. All the wars in all these countries, these are all hostile takeovers of other countries. That's all they are. The whole system is a system of commerce. That's the problem. All the rest of it is simply the symptoms of this one system. All of it. It's all about commerce. The whole world functions and continues to function in this dysfunctional manner solely due to the imposition of commerce over the human experience. That's it. And the situation continues because people don't know who and what they are. People don't understand the power that they inherently hold. That's why I've done so many shows where I've talked about this. And I've done years of research, folks. I've done 30 years of research. And it's always come back to this same thing. Because ultimately, that's the highest octave that you come to. The highest octave that you come to is discovery of yourself. And then you become aware of the crucial need for the people around you to discover themselves. And that is the real issue. It isn't giving information out to them, it's helping them discover themselves, helping them realize who and what they are. That's what is needed, because that's everything that this system has taken away from people. As I said earlier, through the eradication of real history from people's consciousness. People don't understand what they're capable of because they don't really look around them and see what this planet once was and what they were capable of doing. It's always attributed to aliens or gods or somebody else that came and did it. It's never attributed to humankind because we don't believe we are capable of such things. And this is simply because we're told we're not capable of such things. We're given such restricted parameters of science and such restricted parameters of history that we really don't believe we're very powerful at all. We don't understand what we are capable of. And they work very diligently to achieve this level of non-knowledge within the human experience face, because if people ever really understood the level of power that they hold, they could never be controlled as easily as they currently are. But again, folks, the way to really free people from this control is to demonstrate to them that you are free by being all that you can be and leading by example in all that you do. And it would appear that the way things are moving in the world, folks, then many of us are going to have plenty of opportunities to do so, because the net really does seem to be closing this year. And there are many things that are being done to set examples for people and to convince people never to think outside of the box or never to take action against the system. Things such as what's going on with Bradley Manning, Julian Assange, the whole lot. All of these actions are designed to cause people to think twice before they speak out, because they are in fear of what the authorities may do to them should they speak out. But by the same token, there are a lot of other people that are choosing to ignore that and who are choosing to speak out. And there are many people who are continuing to set good examples for our society. And it's all part of the process, really, isn't it? Because, as I've so often said, folks, there will be a lot of people who do not make it through. But there will be other people who do. And what is important is the state of the overall consciousness that does make it through. You know, when you look back and you really see what's happening to the earth, you see the transhumanist agenda, you see what's actually being imposed upon the people. And it really does come down to a state of personal choice. You find that all the answers actually do lie within you. And if you have no fear of what reality may bring you, and you have complete acceptance of yourself, you will find these answers within yourself if you only look deep enough. It's a very difficult thing for some people to do, to come to terms with the fact of self-responsibility, to come to terms with the fact that we do create our own reality and that we are responsible for what we see in the world, and to come to terms with the fact that it's up to each of us to individually change our perspective that is what is going to bring about any real change in the world that we see around us. There's a big responsibility in this, and it's very uncomfortable for some people to realize the power and the potential they hold within and to fully understand that that is where their salvation lies. And it's the same for every person. You know, you can offer information to people, but ultimately they have to find it for themselves. Ultimately, all you can really do is suggest that they have a look at the door. It's up to them to walk through it. It's up to them to want to investigate and to want to look around and to want to understand reality a little bit more. But of course, in order for them to want to understand reality, they first have to want to understand themselves. But most people are taught what they are. They're given a false perspective of themselves. And that's the problem. So what you need to do, as I've so often said, is lead by example in what you do and lead people to the information in that way. See, at the end of the day, it's all about the state of the collective human consciousness. We're all part of that consciousness. And it's good to spread information to people, but only if you're doing so from a state of love. Not if you're doing so from desperation, if you're doing so from a need to make compensations for your own life, or not if you're doing so out of fear. I say what I say to the world, and I do the things that I do because I believe it needs to be done. But I don't attach any emotion to the outcome. I mean, sure, I'd like the world to change. I'd like it to be a better place. I'd like my son to have the future that he could have, and I'd like him to have the opportunity to be all that he can be. I'd like to see humankind flourish into what it could be and to reach the highest of its potential. But if it doesn't happen, well, it doesn't matter. The program will simply run out, and consciousness will create a new reality. I don't feel desperate. I don't feel in fear of what may be. I know that everything is as it should be and will continue to be as it should be. But of course, there's a whole lot of people here who can prevent this program from running out and who can reshape reality into something else. But either way,
it takes personal input and it takes positive energy. And the purpose of my being in this world is to help provide that positive energy. It's not something that I have to think about. It's simply something that I know. And that doesn't mean that I'm anything special. I'm no different to anybody else. And I'm not doing anything that anybody else is not capable of doing. I'm simply offering my perspective, and I'm simply attempting to improve reality by my presence in it, because I do ultimately believe that that is the key. That is the real reason for me to be here. That is the real reason for humanity to be here. And all can be achieved through the simple application of empathy. Empathy is everything, folks. Empathy is your interface with reality. If we had a society based in empathy, the world would change in 3 seconds. And it's one thing to understand what empathy is, but each individual needs to apply that empathy to the world around them. They need to live every moment as if it is a perfect moment, and appreciate every moment of life for what it is. Those who do not appreciate every moment, those who waste idle time, have no concept of what their life is. Because every moment is precious. Every moment is an opportunity for change. Every moment is an opportunity for you to improve reality by your presence in it. Every moment is an opportunity to serve creation and to create a better future, not only for ourselves, but for those who follow after. And that positive change that we create is our legacy. That is the legacy that you leave behind when you leave this world. The legacy you leave behind is what your perception of reality was and how you applied yourself to reality. What did you do with the time that was allotted to you in this world? And is the world a better place because you existed? Have you planted a tree? Have you left a healthy child? Have you made another person's life easier because you are in the world? Because if you've done any of those things, then your life is ultimately a success. Because that's what it's about. It's about re-establishing your connection with the divine, your connection with consciousness, your connection with all that is, all life that exists in the whole universe, and your interface with that life is empathy. Of course it is. And when you understand what empathy is, it becomes obvious that that is the interface you've been looking for, and what you've been searching for is yourself. But once you find that self, it's also important that you recognize that in others, and recognize others for the potential that they hold and the value that they hold. Because that is another very, very important element of control that has been imposed over human consciousness, is our devaluing of not only ourselves, but of other people around us. Our devaluing and invalidation of other people around us. And of course, all of this is achieved via the belief system that is instilled into the consciousness of people by the social structure that is imposed upon them, and by the imposition of commerce over the human experience. This system has been in place for a very long time, folks, and the wonderful thing about the world in 2012 is that it is now becoming absolutely visible. And this is causing a great many people to wake up and to begin to question their reality and question the state we currently find ourselves in. And that's how change is brought about, folks. It's all about these questions being prompted in people's minds. And you can go and spread information as much as you like and shake your fist and scream fear at everybody, and they still won't wake up until it actually hits them where they live. And so the best thing you can do in the meantime is to be that pillar of the community, to lead by example in all that you do, so that when they do wake up, they have somewhere to turn. They have someone to go to, someone who understands. You see, no matter how much we try, people will still wake up when they need to. They will wake up of their own accord when it is supposed to happen, if indeed they are destined to even wake up at all. And we can lay the trail of breadcrumbs out for these people to help them find their way home, but ultimately it's up to them to find the way for themselves, because that's how we found the way. There may have been someone who opened a doorway for us, but ultimately it was us who took the plunge and decided to walk through. It was each of us who decided to look at the world from a different perspective to the one that we have been presented with. And you'll always find that that is the way real knowledge is gained, because real knowledge is gained by the individual. Real knowledge cannot be taught or shown. Real knowledge has to be realized. And This is a moment of self-realization that comes with each person in a different way. So it may be a little frustrating sometimes when dealing with these people, but don't give up hope, folks, and don't believe you're not making a difference, because even by being awake yourself, you are indeed making a difference, even if you're only doing so energetically. You know, we're in for some really interesting times in the next few months, I think. The last 6 months of 2012 are going to be very telling indeed, and it certainly is fascinating watching it all unfold. One can only guess what may happen at the Olympic ceremony that begins in another month. There has been all sorts of speculation regarding that, and it'll be interesting to see what unfolds in the world around us while everyone's attention is focused on the Olympics. So that's something else that I think people should be watching out for. While things are going on at the London Olympic grounds, just keep an eye on what's happening in Syria. Keep an eye on what Israel's up to. Keep an eye on a few other things around the planet at the same time. Because the London Olympics is, of course, a perfect distraction from global events. I'll actually be doing ceremony in Peru for the Olympics. I will miss the entire thing. Well, not the entire thing. It begins on the 27th, which is actually the 28th my time. And I'll be leaving here on the 31st, and I won't be back until the 14th. So there'll be 3 days where I'm subject to the Olympics. And then I'll be disappearing to Peru, and I will not be returning until 2 days after the Olympics have finished. And so I won't be monitoring that while it happens, which is quite an interesting thing in itself, the synchronicity there, which is led me to be away doing ceremony at the very time the 2012 Olympics is being staged. There is, of course, the possibility of something happening at the London Olympics. A lot of people have been talking about it. A lot of people have been expecting it. And, of course, anything is possible, especially when one looks at the security team that has been put in place for the London Olympics, which is, of course, an Israeli security company. So that puts a big question mark over the security of the entire event, simply because of the track record of Israeli security companies. We must remember that it was an Israeli security company that was in charge on 9/11, and it was an Israeli security company that was in charge in regard to the 7/7 bombings in London. It was also an Israeli security company that was in charge of Fukushima, and the list goes on. So it's anybody's guess as to what could happen at the Olympics, folks, but yes, I will be away for that event, except for the first 3 days. And I've just remembered that I was going to talk to you about the synchronistic events that led to my invitation to Peru, but unfortunately I've left it until the end of this show again, and so I will have to save that up for next week and hope that I remember to tell you then. Because we are very much at the end of the show, folks. I'm very much out of time. And I'd like to say thank you very much for continuing to listen to the show, and thank you to anybody who has ever offered any support to the website. It is very much needed and very much appreciated when such support does come through, though I can appreciate that times are very hard for everybody these days, and that's why donations have probably been so few and far between of late. But nonetheless, for those who have offered donations, please accept my absolute thanks for your doing so. That is it for me, folks. We are now completely out of time. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then. In Lakesh.